So what really caused the housing market to go south?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. He's been in the hot seat for some of the measures his board took to contain the financial crisis. But Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke has defended low interest rates against critics who say they helped fuel the housing bubble. Speaking to a meeting of economists yesterday, the Fed chairman said the problem may not have been interest rates. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live this morning from Washington with that. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So why does Mr. Bernanke think that low interest rates aren't to blame?
Well, he says other countries with super low interest rates didn't have a housing bubble. And he says the real problem in the U.S. was lax regulation by the Fed and other banking regulators.
Stronger regulation and supervision aimed at problems with underwriting practices and lenders' risk management would have been a more effective and surgical approach for constraining the housing bubble than a general increase in interest rates.
So, Nancy, is Ben Bernanke saying interest rates don't work at all in these situations?
Not exactly. In fact, in his speech yesterday, he said the Fed must be especially vigilant in heading off future housing bubbles. He said the first option would be regulation, but he said the Fed also needs to remain open to the possibility of higher interest rates to avoid or even pop future bubbles.
And did the Fed chairman say much about where interest rates are headed now?
Not directly. As I mentioned, he did say the Fed needs to remain open to higher interest rates. But most analysts don't expect the Fed to increase rates until the middle of this year at the earliest.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joining us from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's check the numbers. European markets are up between 0.5% and 1% right now. Asian shares closed mostly higher today. The Nikkei was higher with Japan Airlines stocks surging by more than a third. Government says it's going to help the struggling airline with some cash. American markets start the new year higher than 1 year ago, from about 20 to more than 40% in the case of the NASDAQ. Swiss pharmaceutical giant Novartis wants majority control of the U.S. eye care company Alcon. It's an almost $40 billion deal. The world's tallest building opens today. Burj Dubai soars skyward more than 2,600 feet. You can see it all the way from Iran. Developers hope the building can re-spark some optimism about the financially strapped emirate, the same stuff that fueled its explosive growth. Here's a tall order: quitting smoking. For those who have made a New Year's resolution to finally put the pack down, there soon may be new hope. Brett Neely reports.
Many smokers use nicotine patches or gum when they try to quit, but you're still using nicotine.
It is the one molecule that creates the addiction.
That's Rafat Fahim. He's the CEO of Nabi Biopharmaceuticals in Maryland. Instead of using an addictive substance to wean smokers, Nabi's scientists started looking at different approaches.
Lo and behold, we actually did find that the body can create antibodies to the nicotine molecule itself.
In other words, Nabi is developing the world's first vaccine against nicotine. Called NicVax, it's currently in advanced clinical trials. Doctors inject the drug to protect smokers from nicotine's addictive effects. Insurance companies will probably pay for the treatment if it gets approved, says pharmaceutical analyst Bob Wasserman.
They want the people to stop before they have to start paying for heart disease and lung cancer and high blood pressure, the other things that come along with smoking.
Pharma giant GlaxoSmithKline thinks the drug could have blockbuster potential. It's paid Nabi $40 million for the rights to market and sell the vaccine if the FDA approves it. A final decision should come in 2011. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Chinese farmers got a scolding in Copenhagen. At the climate talks there, they were told they're using too much polluting fertilizer. Many African farmers have the opposite problem, not enough fertilizer to grow food. But some farmers in Rwanda are learning organic techniques instead. Marketplace's Gregory Warner has more.
Fadi Munyamana is a farmer in the poorest part of Rwanda, the central district of Nyamata. In 30 years tilling his land, he's never grown enough to feed his own family. The problem is the soil. It's dry and sandy, and he can't afford fertilizer to improve it. But this year, Fadi grew a lot more. He even has surplus vegetables to sell.
I have vegetables that I used to go and buy from the market, but now instead my neighbors come to buy from me.
Josh Ruxin is director of the Millennium Villages Project in Rwanda. He's helped Thaddy learn organic methods, like using composts and cow manure to boost the soil. Really basic stuff.
Check it out.
What's going on here?
This is, you use it for irrigation.
Ruxin shows me some recycled water bottles shoved upside down in the soil.
And it works great, costs nothing, highly effective.
He says that teaching farmers to go green isn't only better for the environment, it's cheaper than handing out fertilizer.
If they can even track down the fertilizer. There's been such a run on fertilizer that one of the last places in the world that the fertilizer is going to reach is the relatively small market of Rwanda.
He takes me to the local market in Niamata, where food prices have almost doubled from last season. Local farmers, he says, are poised to take advantage of this. They don't have the growing transportation costs of international growers.
The farmers all around Niamata have got an opportunity today that they've not seen, certainly in their lifetimes, and that opportunity is to really get a fair price for their food in the market.
To hold on to that opportunity for the long haul, Ruxin's farmers will need a lot more help with bank loans and government subsidies to keep people buying local. Meanwhile, farmer Thaddy Munyamana hopes to earn enough at least to send his kids to school and off the farm for good. In Niamata, Rwanda, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, come on, I know you have it marked on your calendar. Today is World Hypnotism Day, and it is quite the social networking opportunity. London hypnotist Chris Hughes will likely break a world's record by putting thousands of people in a trance on Facebook and Twitter later today at 3:30 Eastern Time. He tells the Independent newspaper it's a way to ensure goal achievement in 2010. One of those goals, perhaps, spending less time on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.